I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory.
Tiger Woods doing the unthinkable in 2019. That, back then, was the ultimate comeback. But could it be superseded by a Masters score in 2022? Jason Porwando, Donovan Bailey. Donovan Bailey running things back for another week, powered by Acast. Before we talk Tiger.
Before we do that.
I see a glow. I don't know what's going on with you. I don't know if it's the warmer weather.
You like it?
Something's going on. I don't know if you dropped 40 last night. I don't know what's up with you.
Hey, dude, I did play some good ball last night. I got to tell you.
You're just glowing.
I did play some good ball and, and there's some good things happening. And clearly I think I won my bet, won the pool.
You're coming in here with your dapper scarf on.
I'm telling you, dude. I'm telling you.
Channeling your inner Tay Diggs.
I don't know about that.
No, man, he's a handsome brother.
Tay Diggs is a very handsome brother.
Oh, yeah. But I'm putting you in good company.
I give him a good run for his money. I'm just telling you that as a handsome man myself.
All right.
That's what I'm saying. But, yeah, this Tiger thing, man.
Is this actually going to happen? I mean, the fact that we're even talking about it being a remote possibility.
I think that's the news. The news is that the greatest golfer the greatest golfer in history, arguably, And obviously I'm a Tiger fan for those of you who don't know. And if you don't know, you know now. Jason, you and I talked about this, we've been talking about this anyways. And I said to you that I was watching the Masters to see if Tiger would be watching the Masters or to see if he's going to show up and be interviewed or whatever. Because I just think that he embodies the sport itself. But the fact that he's out there playing, my brother, the fact that he's there at Augusta going through some practice rounds, whether he's teasing me or not, I'm buying it and I expect him to tee off on Thursday.
My goodness. He's a 15-time major champion. Okay, we know about the resume, but a more important number is 17, as in months. I mean, he hasn't played a tour event in that long a time. Last February, not 2022, 2021, we know about the accident. You know, he told reporters in December, DB, that doctors nearly amputated that right leg.
Yeah, you know, and that's what I'm saying about the perseverance of this man and, you know, obviously the incredible champion mindset that he has. Ultimately, when you think about the surgeries that he had on his back, surgeries on his, they had to repair his foot, like to bring it back to normalcy, as you said, without, you know, trying to not to amputate it. So the fact is, you know, I understand from a sports person, I mean, having a devastating injury in my career, the mindset that you have when you go into, you know, you start physio and you start therapy. And the mindset for you to get healthy is so important. And I knew that when he starts rehabilitation on anything that he post-accident or any of the injuries that he's had or post-surgery or whatever, I knew that the goal was never only just to, like, walk again or to be normal again.
Right.
The champion mindset, was for him to get back to the golf course and just push his body to see where he's going to go. And I'm telling you, man, I'm so happy to hear this. I'm so happy that there's an opportunity for him to play. I want him to continue to play. I think that this man can win some more majors and play right into his 50s. I mean, I'm hoping to see that. And as you said, I'm glowing today.
Biggest story in all of sports, no doubt. Will he or won't he, in terms of Tiger Woods in the 86 Masters? Now, so now here's what has me a little bit apprehensive. I'm just a little bit cautious in terms of him being... Well, hear me out.
Right.
You spoke of the back. Right. The weather, Thursday, Friday, opening two rounds, kind of coolish. Not good for the back. They're expecting damp conditions. That means some give in the grass. And he's got to walk those 18 holes on Thursday.
Well,
18
I mean,
more on Friday. And hopefully 36 more on the weekend. So, man.
So
Tiger, I'm not going to bet against him, but I'm just not confident.
I am optimistic.
Okay.
I am optimistic that Thursday he's going to play. I mean, the fact that, first of all, Jason, a couple of things. You can't win if you don't tee off on the first day. You understand
Fair
me?
Enough. Fair enough.
You understand me? So he has to attempt to do that. And I'm saying to you, if he's in it and he plays the way he's supposed to play, then we will see Tiger Thursday and Friday. And hopefully Saturday, Sunday. Well,
are we expecting too much? Already we put so much pressure on this guy. He is Mr. Golf. But see, now it's gone from, it's not just good enough for him to be back.
Right.
We want him to survive the cut and play Saturday, Sunday. Is that not expecting a little too much, though?
I'm going to tell you from a champion myself, no. Your greatest judge is yourself. And I'm very certain that whatever aspirations Tiger has is way more than what any fan could have of him. I'm very certain that his mindset is that he's gonna get out there and he's gonna be Tiger Woods of 2001. I mean, like I've never gone in competition and worried about what someone else thought.
Mm-hmm.
I've always felt that I'm the greatest that walked. I'm the greatest in history, so I can get out there and so I personally get out there and do that. Now, if someone's saying, "Hey, he's coming back from an injury," and all of that, I understand that they're fans and they're media types, and of course there's armchair quarterbacks like you and myself that can have a conversation about what we think. But I'm telling you this, from a professional athlete who's been the greatest in the history of the world in what I did, his mindset is that he's going to tee off. I believe that he's going to tee off.
Oh, he will. I think he will.
And when he tees off, he is not thinking about, just participating.
Right. Me personally, I can't see Tiger going through all of this just to be the show pony. That's not Tiger Woods. He's there. He will play it. For how long? I don't know. But he will. I'm almost guarantee you. Not going to guarantee. Almost can guarantee you. He'll tee it up on Thursday.
I'm very happy that you said that, because it's unfortunate that people are having conversations thinking that Tiger is just, he's flying to Augusta to go practice and then go back home. That's not what happens. That's not how.
No.
That's not the championship mindset. I mean, he's going there to see how far he can push it, and to see where he can be on Thursday.
Off the top of the program, we played what happened back in 2019. We heard the Jim Nance call. Back then, it was the ultimate return to golf, the ultimate return to the summit for Tiger Woods. If he somehow pulls this off, not only is it the best comeback ever in golf,
again,
it could be sports, period.
Ever. No, but he's...
Could you imagine?
Do you think that he has another Masters in him? Do you think that he's got another?
I don't think it's this year, though. Just because I'm, like I said, again, the cooler weather, not good for the back, the undulating up and down. It's one of the tougher courses in all of golf.
I've been at Augusta.
Okay.
I played that course. What I'm saying to you is that there are, when you are at in his place, when you're at his position, whatever the task is, like the more difficult it seems, the probably more relaxed he is. And I'm telling you this, coming back from a ruptured Achilles where my Achilles were sewn by thread, coming back. I'm saying to you that when I got back to, on top again, after my ruptured Achilles, the tougher the situation, you kind of go, man, I've been through this before. I mean, so it's not a big deal. So I, So he's probably more relaxed playing Augusta than he probably would be at playing an easier course, is what I'm saying to you.
Final question. If you're a fellow player, kind of like mixed emotions, you want Tiger there.
Scared.
But then again, you don't want Tiger there.
Listen, I think that every golfer knows that if Tiger Woods' name is mentioned, it means that, one, they're going to make more money. Two, there's going to be better coverage. Three, there's going to be a ton of fans, right? Four, I guess, it's covered by the entire world. Everyone's watching. So it's good for every single golfer. But, yes, it is scary that there's a man showing up and you have no idea. First of all, I shouldn't say that. You have an idea that he can bury you, but you don't know if he's ready to bury you that day. So ultimately, I mean, every single golfer out there is on pins and needles. Think about this, Jason. How distracted are those other guys going, man, you know what? Last week I played last month I played a tournament, 15 people watched. Today I'm at Augusta and, there's 40,000 people at tee off. I mean, so I'm talking the intimidation factor that he possesses by just showing up, is incredible. I love that, man. You know, when I competed, it was that way. Our relay team, when we showed up in certain places, it was that way. So I understand how that works, man. It's awesome.
Double-edged sword, as talked about, because the pressure's on with Tiger there, but the pressure's also off with Tiger there because we may not see any other golfer this weekend. If Tiger's eating a sandwich, we will see it. If Tiger's tying his shoelace, we will see it. If Tiger's sneezing, we will see it and hear it.
And if Tiger wins, there's no other golfer in the field.
Wow. That's crazy. And you know what? Sports, the best two words, game seven. Right?
Yeah.
Opening day. But we're also going to have to throw in game time decision. Tiger's the only guy that can bring game time decision to golf. That's not a, phrase we hear on the links.
Well, yeah. Well,
but it's Tiger.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, Tiger gets to run that.
Yeah.
I mean, it is his show, man. And ultimately, I think that, again, like I said, I'm an optimistic man, and I expect to see him tee off on Thursday.
You've done so many things that I'm jealous of, but you played Augusta?
Yeah, a few times, actually. Yeah, it's pretty sweet. I mean, I didn't exactly shoot what I wanted to.
I don't care what you played Augusta.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
You're all right.
Man. I'm going to give you snippets every show, Jason. I'm going to tell you something
about
I did.
The man, the myth, the legend. The Augusta Inn.
Yes, Augusta Inn, yeah.
Let's talk some hoops because we're now in a fresh month of April.
Mm-hmm.
It's not French, but we can go for you if you want. But March Madness has now passed. The Madness wrapping up last night. And whew, what a ball game. Here are the final seconds.
They go to Love. Love's going to be the one to take it. Puts up the shot. It's off. The game is over. And Kansas completes the biggest championship comeback.
They were down 15. 15.
You got to believe, man.
Wow. I don't get it. I mean, that's the biggest overall halftime deficit erased. Kentucky, Utah was, 10 points back when Kentucky was able to win in 98, I do believe. But to be honest, at halftime, what were you thinking? I know you picked Kansas as one of my bracket winners.
But I had two points.
What were you thinking at halftime? It did not look good, and they did not look good.
You know what? Understanding the game of basketball. I mean, I love basketball. I love playing basketball. Actually, at the top of the show, I said the guys I play basketball with for the last 25, 30 years. I mean, we play ball every Monday night, and these don't happen often where we actually go play the game and then we all go watch the game together.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, Jason, that it would have been difficult, but I also understood and was watching how tentative Kansas was in the second quarter. So that being said, they're a little bit more athletic than North Carolina. They're one seed for a reason. And I thought they were going to come back. Clearly, I want them to come back because I have money on them.
Right.
So, yeah, it looked... It looked, you know,
it looked done, if you ask me.
Not necessarily done, man, because here's the thing. I mean, you know, again, playing basketball at the highest level that I went, that I played basketball in Canada, which at Sheridan College when we were Canadian champions, I understood that, and obviously the media doesn't have access to this. Whatever the halftime motivational talk or speech from your coach or whomever else was in that room. Remember that they had Antoine Jameson sitting in the stands, right?
There's a ton of blue.
They had
sure.
Danny Manning sitting in the stands. I think it was the last time Kansas won.
Yep.
Right? So I'm saying to you, I don't know. I mean, because I was even looking to see if I saw any of those halftime, you know, you're looking to see if any one of those guys, their seats were empty, right? Like if I don't know if coach pulled any of them in to have a chat, but I'm telling you, whatever the conversation was at halftime, it definitely lit a fire under the Kansas Jayhawks, and they came out playing defense and gunning. So although it looked, as you said, done. I thought that they had an opportunity to come back. I didn't think they'd come back storming back, you know, that quickly. But I mean, you know, and then turn into a very interesting game in the last.
So Danny Manning won his in 98. Right. The most recent one for Kansas would have been 2008. So they were down 16 points. Right. And the previous high was 15. Loyola Chicago against Cincinnati back in 1963. But
wow.
I can't fathom how UNC had them down on the mat, foot on their throat, let them get up, and then lose that way. I mean, good on Kansas, obviously, showing some resiliency, able to fight back. But that was a tough loss for Hubie Davis. And we're going to have a little bit more to talk about Hubie in a second. But that was a tough pill to swallow for the Tar Heels.
Well, I think that Hubie, first of all, University of North Carolina, and one of the most incredibly rich college sports history, college sports stories. And I think that, I expected, you know, Hubie obviously, you know, he came in as an eighth seed, and I'm sure he expected that to be a little higher. They played decent basketball throughout the NCAA season, but yeah, that was it seemed to be quite. I don't know what he's going to discuss, you know, as far as coaching decisions that he made. Like, we've talked about game time decisions, but in game decisions that he made, don't know if he'd do anything differently. But certainly, you know, you have to congratulate the champions, Kansas, who came back and were never going to be denied, the championships last night.
Just quickly, I know in your sport, you don't have a halftime, but the closest thing I can equate to it, maybe you run a semifinal.
Yeah,
there's times you know between. You're going to the final. Maybe your semi wasn't as good as you expected. How do you regroup? What do you say to yourself mentally to get you back in that right frame of mind for the final?
Well, the number one thing that you have to say is that your work's already done. I think that there has to be a satisfaction within you that your work's already done. And then you have to remember that the small things, the small things you did in practice, the small things that you did in games, the small mistakes that you had made before that you should have learned from, and then essentially go in with that open mindset, Jason. I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, when you walk into you know, whatever your field of play is, you know, or whatever, like wherever you are, where you've made some mistakes before, you know, it's very important for you to understand when you walk back onto that same playing field that you're not clear. A clear mindset, breathing, you know, blood rate, you know, blood pressure down, you know, the ability to absorb and live in the moment. And I think they did that.
All right. David McCormack, big on him. Big man was just cool at halftime. He was huge late. And by the way, as impressive as last night was, don't forget 2008 versus Memphis. They were down 9.
Absolutely.
With just over 2 minutes left.
Great coaching, man. Great. Bill Self, you've got to always congratulate the system, the support system, the coaching staff, and the incredible job that they do with these kids. Because obviously, again, we always talk about March Madness. March Madness is where these kids turn into men. And you talk about McCormack, I think he's going to be a great pro. You know, so, I mean, you saw some kids last night that are definitely going to be playing in the NBA next year.
Fourth title for Kansas, first since 2008, as talked about. Now back to Hubert Davis. We all know he bleeds Tar Heel blue, but he's got some other colors that he wanted to talk about. Now, this was pre-championship night. You know, a little press opportunity, a little media op, a little press conference, speaking with, you know, the media about various topics. And, you know, it got to the point where he brought up race. And it's significant, don't get me wrong. You know, there's about 26% black coaches in terms of NCAA, Division I basketball. I get that. He's only the fourth black head coach. Actually, he's the first, I should say, at UNC.
Right.
So he is the first, but he's only the fourth black head coach of any sport at the school program. But he decided to go in a different direction when talking about color, and I was just like, what the? Anyway, let's just play it.
But I'm also very proud that my wife is white, and I'm very proud that my three beautiful, unbelievable kids are a combination of both of us.
Now, I understand you want to talk about your significance of the role you're playing as a black man, you know, at this level, coaching. I get that. What does this have to do with his wife and his kids and color? What? I don't get it.
Okay, so let me break this down, right?
Please do.
Let me break this down.
Please do.
So this happened after he beat Duke. And I understand, again, Coach K is one of the greatest coaches that ever lived. And, you know, obviously he had a good run. And maybe Hubert was feeling a little emotional. I mean, I when I was watching the clip, I thought maybe he's going to say, you know, I'm very happy to take over from another amazing coach, Roy Williams, right? Mm-hmm. A great program. I'm also someone, as you know, Jason, I'm a supporter of obviously qualified. I mean, when we talk about, you know, systematic racism or any kind of racism for that matter, we always talk about opportunities for qualified people. Now, I think that Hubert Davis is an extremely qualified coach who happens to be black. And I think that he should, and him pointing that out is very important. It's very important for athletes or future coaches to understand that there's an opportunity and there's another man who they can look at as a mentor. They can look at him, you know, as someone that they can aspire to be. But, you know, the whole my wife is white and my kids are a product of both of us. To me, is maybe a short lack of understanding. I mean,
nobody asked him.
Well,
offense, we don't care.
And I'm getting there. I think that what's crazy is that this man's got to understand that it's very important for us to all talk about our support system. You know, he loves his wife and he loves his kids, and that should be it. I mean, at the end of the day, I think it's very important for you not to have your wife and your kids as targets, because unfortunately, we live in this world right now where one, he definitely, on a very accomplished coach, and it's taken and that took away from so much that he has accomplished up until that point, because now we live in a place where social media exists and everyone gets to have an opinion. So you're gonna have black people have an opinion, white people have an opinion, and other people have an opinion. At the end of the day, what you don't want to do in your work is to have your family being targeted. And I'm saying, by him saying that, by him just pointing that out, all of a sudden now your wife and your kids get targeted by idiots that are out there. You know what I mean, Jason? I mean, like, so at the end of the day, we always got to be thankful for the closest people around us, but don't put them in front of us so that someone else can point fingers and start something negative towards them.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with race.
Correct.
It's like you saying to me, well, who do you like in the basketball game tonight? And I say to you, well, I like Kit Kat. Mars bars are also pretty good as well. What? It's got nothing to do with it. Yeah. I mean, I could see if he was involved in a racial incident and he said, hey, man, listen, I'm not a racist. I mean, my wife is white. My kids are biracial. Right. I understand that.
Right.
But just out of the blue, pardon the pun, you bring up this, it's like, what? So, that was the curveball of the week.
I don't think that it's, I think it's crazy. I mean, you know, maybe my mindset's like this because I have great friends, and my great friends are just, I mean, they're divided. I mean, if you're my brethren, you're my brethren. I mean, you know, we all obviously you see color and you understand culture and you respect each other. But it's not necessary to point out that you have 10 white friends and one black friend and two Chinese friend and all that stuff. I mean, I just think they become stupid because at the end of the day, my friendships have always been defined by support, loyalty, you know, healthy relationship with the people that I've had. And unfortunately, this should have never been a story and it should never have gone viral because it should never have been mentioned in the first place. What I'm saying to you is a guy like Hubert, you gotta understand, my brother, that when you're now in the public eye as a star, you're a star coach, you don't wanna put any target on the chest of the people that you care most about, which would be your wife and your kids. So don't mention, be thankful and put them out there. People will see that you, this is your wife, bro. That's who you are. That's your wife. That's your kids. That's it. I mean, and you know, white wife, black kids, by the way, that's what he's got to understand.
Here's what I want to know. Why wasn't her name mentioned? You didn't even say her name. You know what?
So yeah.
My white wife, that's her name, white wife.
I think, I understand he's also from North Carolina, right? But I'm saying to you that it's such a silly quote. I mean, and again, we're having a conversation, Jason, about someone who might have made a slip up. You know,
why he went there.
Well, you
what
and I.
What does she have to do with anything?
You and I both know it's not necessary. It's always important to be thankful of your support system, but I mean, you don't have to describe what dress they're wearing or what food.
Not like she was sitting in the corner.
What food they made the night before?
Right. Not like she was sitting in the corner and she rolled her eyes and then he. Oh, I gotta go slap somebody.
Uh-oh.
Keep my white wife's name out. Anyway,
slap gate number two.
Let's just move on. And for the record, Hubie, I got a white wife too. Her name is Patricia. Just want to clarify that. Anyways, not to take away from the game itself, it was phenomenal. But you know, can't forget about the ladies because they put on a hell of a show as well. And Queens. What an ending in Minneapolis!
It is not unfinished business any longer. South Carolina has captured its second national championship.
A chance to erase the taste of that heartbreaking loss in the previous year's Final Four to eventual champion Stanford. The Gamecocks, these ladies, they earned it. They went from pillar to post every game a victory. I'm talking the whole year. I'm not just talking about, you know.
Dude, I got to tell you, man. I mean, it's just, you know, as a sports professional, not retired, and a fan, and you get to watch. We spoke earlier about Tiger being just a phenomenal athlete, and it is. I would be remiss if we're having the show today and didn't talk about Dawn Staley.
Oh,
I mean, yes. I'm telling you, like, you know, for those young, I mean, and we're both girl dads, right? So I'm saying to you that, my God, man, you know, Dawn Staley was an exceptional athlete in high school, exceptional athlete in college, exceptional athlete in the WNBA, and now an incredible coach, you know, a balanced coach who she's looking at maybe all the coaches that were before her that are preparing young women to be successful human beings. But she wants to win that championship. And I'm telling you, watching the game and watching her walk the sidelines and instruct those young women and carrying them all year and instructing them, you know, on the winning attitude, the winning mentality and the motivation and the work that they put in to get there. I was so happy to see the game. And, you know, they talk about, you know, women's sports sometimes, but I'm telling you, anytime that you see or hear about, these ladies playing basketball, I'm suggesting that you get to the TV and you watch it because it was incredible.
I'm with you. And Staley, by the way, she's now 2-0 in the championship game. Don't forget, 2017.
She's a winner, bro. She's a winner.
Right? She got her squad past Mississippi State. But how about Aaliyah Boston, too? Junior forward, national player of the year, her 30th double-double of the season, 11 points, 16 rebounds. She was the Final Four's most outstanding player.
Right.
Gino Auriemma and UConn, hey, sometimes you just got to tip your cap. I mean, this was not close. It was a 15-point beatdown.
Well, Gino, speaking of that, I mean, this is the John Wooden, man. I mean, Gino, mm-hmm. like, he's won, what, 12?
I can't keep count.
Well, whatever.
I lost count.
He's won a whole lot.
Right.
And ultimately, he's also, you know, someone that could be commended, a coach that could be commended, preparing young women, preparing young girls, turning into young women to be successful and productive people. I mean, I always look at, you know, his coaching style and certainly, you know, his program at UConn. And, man, that's another storied program that's going to continue to push out incredible athletes. And you know, every year I'm very certain that his recruiting class is top mark. So I would not be shocked, Jason, to see these same two teams in the NCAA women's final next year.
I'm glad you mentioned that because, by the way, Kansas already the favorite on the guys' side
right.
to repeat. And, by the way, Gino, 11 titles, 11 yes. and 0
right.
in the title game until now.
He is you're the stats man. You're the stats man. Thank God.
Thank
God
you're
the stats man.
I got your back. And by the way, Gamecocks, they were 35-2 this year. So when I said they were undefeated, I'm talking about them against teams ranked in the AP.
Wow.
And as number one, they took it wire to wire.
Wow, incredible.
You know what time it is. Oh, yeah, last few minutes of the program. We love to run that anchor leg.
A cleaning stream to Donovan Bailey is pouring it on.
We are burning to talk about the reggae category at the Grammys, where I need to get your opinion on a band by the name of Soja, spelled S-O-J-A. At least they got the J-A in there, right? Soja,
right.
Virginia-based. They win the Reggae Album of the Year over five Jamaicans. Five Jamaicans. What's your thoughts there, Mr. Bailey?
Something gone wrong here.
Are you kidding me? Are Listen, you kidding me?
Jason, I have no idea. I have no idea. I know that there's a, you know, speaking to my friends in the sports and music industry in Jamaica, mm-hmm. there seem to be, they seem to be quite upset. But apparently Soja, is a group, a reggae band that's been in the business for a long time. I mean, again,
the business of what?
Oh, but Brejan, listen to me. I don't know. Like, I don't know them. I've never heard of them. But apparently, they have collaborated with several, you know, incredible reggae artists from Jamaica. So mm-hmm. I'm saying to you that I have never heard of them. And, you know, when I saw the news feed, I'm like, oh, okay, what category is that? Best costume? I have no idea. I don't know what it was.
No. Best costume.
What I'm saying to you, because I didn't know, I don't know their music. But again, maybe I'm not, you know, up to date with them because their reggae is probably not my reggae. But I don't know, man. You know, what I can say is, obviously they're in a genre that people are very sensitive, because there is an abundance of incredibly rich history, and you know, you Jamaicans or reggae fans around the world are gonna get sensitive when they don't know who the hell you are.
Nothing screams reggae like Virginia. I know Virginia's for lovers, but come right. on. And by the way, yeah, they collaborated with, I think Collie Buds is on there, Ali Campbell of UB40. I get it, but they knocked off some Jamaican giants in this
name
category.
Name them.
Gramps Morgan.
Yes, Gramps. Yep.
Okay.
Jeez.
Jesse Royals, Royale.
Wow.
You're looking at also in there, Itana Spice.
Itana.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's a lot of.
This is a big time disrespect. I'm sorry.
That's kind of rough. Sorry.
Let's move on. Opening day for baseball, right around the corner. Thursday, most teams. Friday, the rest of them. How many games into the year before you actually care about the 162 game season? Play ball.
The 163rd. No, no, I do. You know, I'm just saying to you that, you know, I try to make it out to maybe a baseball, one or two baseball games. But I'm saying to you that for me, because the season's so long, I'm telling you that it only interests me when it comes down to the playoffs. And that's just, I'm a fan and I always know what's going on. And clearly I got tons of, you know, good baseball brethren, right? But I'm saying to you that it's such a long season that you literally can go on vacation for a couple of months, come back and wouldn't have lost anything. So my interest always comes when the playoff starts and there's something that you're playing for.
I can't wait till we take Donovan Bailey running things to the ballpark. I can't wait. Sean Paul, by the way, was also part of that. So just
how
give
did
me
Sean
the light.
Paul didn't
exactly.
win?
Exactly.
Crazy, man.
Britney Spears is about to publish a new memoir.
Uh-oh.
Will Donovan Bailey be in line to purchase?
Negative. Negative. Okay.
She even said she's going to name her song Hit Me Bailey One More Time.
Oh, that's good.
That's still not enough to get you to buy the memoir?
That could go in many directions. Right? No, but listen, here's the thing. You know, I'm always interested in human interest stories and
right.
documentaries. So if that came out, if she wrote a book, maybe I won't read the book, but if there was some sort of doc that was from that book that she wrote and it was on Netflix and it's 4 o'clock in the morning and I have insomnia, then I'd watch it.
Couple other quick things. This is a cool story. A 15-year-old by the name of Liam Davies has become the youngest winner of a world championship match. We're talking snooker. After beating wow. Ireland's Aaron Hill in qualifying. And I realize that, you know, that type of thing on our side of the world isn't huge.
Right.
But other places it is. The fact that a 15-year-old is winning a competition, I think, is noteworthy.
Of course. Age, like, think about if you're a tennis player. If you're a tennis player or a golfer, or even a sprinter, like, think about where it's essentially a non-combat sporting event, right?
Okay.
It means, or maybe a gymnast who might be 13, 14, 15. Snooker is still very much the same way. I mean, you can have a kid.
Do you play?
That's good. I play pool. I don't know about snooker.
So billiards, you're more
right.
of a... Okay.
Yeah, but the thing is, for me, Jason, I've, you know, speaking of Augusta, one of the things that I did when I was in the UK, you know, that would be one of our base when I was competing. I attended... some of the snooker competition. It's like attending snooker competition or you go to, you know, darts. Like, you'd be shocked to know that a stadium full of people or a room full of people or a hall filled with people are watching this at the highest level. I mean, it's such an incredible thing.
100%.
It's such an incredible
darts,
thing. Yeah. It is such an incredible thing when you watch people at the highest level playing their sport and how interesting it is. Yes, I know that us in North America, we're used to the 80,000 seat stadium for football, basketball, baseball, you know, track and field, whatever. But yeah, there are very, very cool sports. I mean, you know, I've watched like a real squash championships. You know, I mean, I've been in arenas or in sports halls, we'll say, where we're seeing the top, the best people doing some things. So yeah, it does not shock me that a 15-year-old, can win a snooker championship. It's a little crazy.
He won a qualifying game.
Yeah.
So he didn't win the whole thing.
Well,
it's just the fact that he was able to, he beat the world's number 60-something ranked player. So he's 15.
But I'm saying to
it's
you
grade
that,
10.
Right. I'm saying to you that, yeah, it's a
unbelievable
game. Yeah, it's a, well, first of all, you know, a kid 15 years old, you can just get in there and just there's no experience. there should be no, you shouldn't be nervous about anything, man. So just get out and do this thing.
Speaking of young guns, we'll talk more about this maybe next week. Matt Bowling is his name. Is it Bowling?
Yeah.
He track and field. I know you know a little something about that. This kid on the rise.
Well, I mean.
And Hubie Davis will tell you he's white. Hubie Davis will tell you he is a white runner.
Matt is a white sprinter.
Okay.
And just like having a white heavyweight champion, I think it makes a lot of news when you have someone other than a black man dominating athletics. And Matthew Bowling is not exactly dominating, but he's certainly one of a definitely young and up and coming sprinter. There's some other guys that are as good or even better. And so I'm looking forward to what he's going to do in the season, but there's some other kids that's going to be amazing. And before we wrap up today, Jason, I gotta say to my incredible fans out there, yes, I'm aware that Champs in Jamaica starts this week. And for those of you who don't know, Champs is the biggest, greatest, and I'm in Canada, and so I'm missing this 3 years in a row now because of COVID, and obviously they canceled, but I'm missing it this year because obviously I have some business in Canada, but I am usually at Champs. Champs is the biggest and best high school track and field championships on the planet. 50,000 people, packed stadium every day, because undoubtedly every single year for it seems like hundreds of years, there is an incredible athlete that shows up there, does some things, and sooner or later becomes a household name in track and field around the globe.
JC, that's all I need to know.
Oh,
whether you're talking divine intervention, are you talking?
Oh man, what's wrong with you, dude? I can't go there.
Where did you go?
I went to a nice boarding school called Knox College.
Ooh.
Knox College. We don't know if we're going to get a point at Champs this year.
But you just made a point with Donovan.
Right,
Bale,
yes. Right. But it's good, man.
Jamaica College for you?
No, I'm a supporter. Like, my boys at JC. Yeah, you know, solid. My boys at Calabar.
Yeah.
And Kingston College, of course.
KC.
Yeah, and KC. But I'm saying to you that it's. I'm a supporter of just opportunity, and ultimately, we know that there's some great coaches, there's some great kids. I miss you guys. I will be there next year, just to cheer on and playing it forward, and supporting the great kids that are there, the great coaching staff, the media, just cool Jamaican people overall.
We have hit the stripe. We will end things right there. As always, we ask that you please like, share, subscribe, follow, do what you got to do. Be a part of Donovan Bailey running things. We'll talk more track and Tiger next week on the program. For DB, I'm JP. Thanks as always for the company. Another edition of Donovan Bailey running things powered by Acast.
Stay safe and see y'all next week.